last night as Brenda had our family, most of our family, over for supper. She made a luxurious supper, and the grandkids came, and we just had a really nice time. And after they left, it was just so fulfilling to sit there and think, you know, I feel really blessed. I feel really blessed to have our family around and in our lives, and the grandkids and the kids, most of them are very close. And it was about 9 o'clock, and we were they just left, and I sat down, I watched something on TV, and pretty soon I pulled out my phone, and I was starting to think about, you know, what's there, and then I got, I looked at my notes from the day, because I have my notes on my phone, and I started looking at that, and I started thinking, there's a guy down at camp, and he's working down at camp, and I'm watching TV, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing 6 or 7 things, you know. And I know you're the same way. If you'd asked me what was on TV, I couldn't even tell you what I watched last night because I probably wasn't watching it. I was just doing this and doing that and, you know, thinking about everything else. It is so easy to get distracted. It is so easy not to stay fixed. It is so easy not to do what God has asked us to do, and that is to keep our eyes fixed on Him. And that's what we're going to talk about. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to, you can do it on your phone, or you can just do it on if you brought one of those old-fashioned paper Bibles. You can turn to Hebrews 12 and 1 through 3. We're still in that passage, and we're going to continue to be in that passage, and it's going to come up on the screen here. And I want to read with you, and we're going to deal with one verse out of here today, and I'm going to make a whole lesson out of one verse. So bear with me as we get into this. Therefore, again, you say, didn't we do this the last 3 weeks? Yes, we did, but we're going to take one verse right out of it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And then here's our verse for today. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Doing what? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We talked about the first week that we have this great cloud of witnesses and that we need to get our head in the right cloud, because usually our head is in this cloud and everything to do with this cloud. We think about this cloud. We clutch it. We don't go anywhere without this cloud. Our head is always in this cloud. And we said, well, stick your head in the cloud where the great witnesses are, where the witnesses tell you, listen, we've done this. You can do it. We've accomplished it. We're dead, and now we're living, and we tell you, you can do it. Because so many of us wake up every day, and we're not sure we can. Because we wake up every day, and we're unsure of the day. We're unsure of what's going on. And so today, we're going to, then last week, we said, let's not get tangled up in the sin that we talked about, sin, and the sin that tangles you up. And we decided and landed on the fact that that sin was the sin of not having faith, not having faith that God can do what he says he can do. Because he said he can do all things, we can do all things through Christ who lives in us. And so we live with that, knowing that, but we don't act like that in our lives. We don't believe or act like he can do all things in our life. So don't get tangled up in that sin, not having a great, great faith. And today we're going to tear apart this verse. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And so if you ask me what is today's lesson about, it's called being fixed, but run the race. Run the race. Run the race that's marked out for you, because it is marked out for you. And the Hebrew writer makes a case for that in all 11 chapters of the book of Hebrews. It's tough for me to stand up here and talk about running because I haven't probably run for 30 years. And my daughters like to run. Kelsey loves to run. My daughter, Samantha, my middle daughter, she runs marathons, literally marathons. That's all she does is run marathons. She loves it. Has 3 kids. Just running, having 3 kids is a marathon. If those of you that have kids, and you understand that. But barring somebody, a bear chasing me, or somebody with a gun, I haven't run for 30 years. And so I'm standing up here talking to you about running. And so it's a little foreign because I haven't run. I don't. So I want to run us through some of the reasons why we don't run. The first reason we don't run is because we know running people, right? If you know people who run, they're a little bit crazy. And they literally go to bed early, they get up early, they eat the right stuff, they wear those tight little clothes. And we know those people, and it feels like racing or running controls their life. That's all they do is they run. You know those people? Yeah, a couple of you? All right, another reason that I see people and why they don't run is because if you're like me, I think racing is great. And I like to watch people run. I like to watch people race. I love it. I'll give you water. I'd stand by. I'll applaud. I'll go, go, team, go. Run, run, run. And when you win, I'll say, we won. Right? Like, we did it all together. Not. And maybe some of you in this room would say, like me, or some of you probably hear you, I'd like to run, but I got this thing called life going on right now, and it keeps me really busy. We got kids, and they drive us all over the place. And running sounds great, but I don't have time because I'm kind of running my own race here right now. It's called getting me to tomorrow, getting my kids to tomorrow, getting my family to the next day, and I'm losing that race most days. And so with that in mind, I think it's fitting when the Hebrew writer is writing to this group of people, these Hebrews, most of them didn't run and they didn't race. And so he's using this. He says, you've got this race marked out before you. There's a race and it's your race. It's your race to run. It's your race to go where you need to go. Now, I think a lot of us know what it means to run a spiritual race. I've been talking about a physical race, you know, racing with your arms and your body, but we're talking really here today about a spiritual race. And some would say things like this, you know, I don't want to run. I love Jesus. I kind of love God, and I want to run the race, but to be honest, like, it'll control me. If I do that, and it'll control who I hang out with and what I drink and what I smoke and what I put into my body and who I give and who I forgive and who don't like. And so it's a little controlling. And so I don't know if I really want to run. Some of us are like, you know, Jesus had changed lives. See, I think he should. And I think Jesus cares about everyone and Jesus loves everybody. And I think we should invest in other people's lives. And oh, wait. You're asking me to do that personally? No. See, I think the writer of Hebrews would say to one of us here today, I think he would say to you today, hear me, church. Hear me, Hebrews, and hear me, Impact Christian Church. Whatever your reason for not running today, whatever it is, I'm telling you today, the Hebrew writer would say, it's time to race. It's time to get in the game. And he wants to define the race for what it is, because the race gets defined by the way that we put it in our mind, and it's not really what we think it is. He literally says, there is a race, and it's marked out for you, and it's your race, but the race isn't what you think it is. I think I put it up on the screen here today. The race is not what you think it is. It's not a direction. It's a person. It is not going north. It is not going south. It is a person, and that person is Jesus. And we tend to think that God's will, that his direction that he has for us, that this race that he has for our lives, we think that it's some unknown destination, and we're just flailing, and we run for a second, we stop, and we run, and we stop, and we quit, and I'm done, I can't do this anymore, it's stupid, I'm not doing anything, it doesn't help, and we just kind of go away. So it's a person, and it's not an unknown destination. It's a known person, Jesus Christ. If you look in the Bible and you look for a proof text for this, Jesus would say this about himself. He would say, I am the way. Follow me. I am the race. I am the race. That's what he said about himself time and time again. I think if you asked Paul, Paul would say, what's the race? I think he would say this, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the race. If Peter says the exact same thing, he says, anybody of you confused? You must follow in his steps. You got to be like him to be in the race. Got to be just like him. John was running the race, and he said, here's how you know you're going to know who's running the race. Listen to me. Here's how you're going to know who's running the race. You want to know who's running the race? Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Or another phrase would say, walk as Jesus walked or race as Jesus raced. The early church called themselves the Way. And if you ask them, what is the way? What was their response? It's Jesus. They would absolutely say, the race is to be like Jesus. You want to know what the race is? The race is living your life like Christ. And the second truth that we find in Hebrews, that as he talks about running this race that is preserved for us, when we run the race, the word comes alive. And I want to talk about these two things today because these two things are so important when we talk about being fixed and having our eyes fixed on Jesus and running a race. Running that race that Jesus has called us for. The Spirit of God, when it's in us, transforms us as we run every step. When we run the race, God does something in us. It's not something you do. We've been talking about this week after week. It's not you trying harder. You can't try enough to get it done. You can try to quit smoking. You can try to lose weight. You can try to be a better person. None of that works. What works is letting the Holy Spirit transform you from the inside out. But you have to be running the race. That's the important thing. Until you start running the race, the Spirit just kind of leaves you alone. The Spirit is going, they're not running. And so you may be out there today going, I haven't felt God. It may be because you're not running. It may be because you're not running the race. The Word of God, when we start running the race, it's like a tailwind behind us, and we just find ourselves just going. So many of us beat ourselves up day after day after day because we're trying to do what God wants, but we're not running the race. And if you're not running the race, God is not, he's not doing what he said he would do, because he said, when you run, I'll be there. Run in the race. The Word of God comes like this tailwind, and it just pushes you. It pushes you forward, and you're going, oh, here we go. Let's go. And then you try it, and you wake up, and you're going, I'm tired. I'm not going to get hurt again. I'm not running. I'm not doing that. They hurt me. They didn't like me. I tried to help that person, and they bit me. They hit my hand. I tried to do something nice, and they took advantage of me. I see you're running the race, but it's not God's race. Something awful happens to you, and the Spirit of God is in you. And you know what? You don't have to go look in the Bible for how to pray. Something just pops out of you. God, I need you. And all of a sudden, right there, he's right there. And he's walking with you. I didn't say he took care of all the stuff that's going on, but I'm telling you, he's there walking with you as you run that race. When we run the race, sin gets shown for what it is. It's just a diversion, because all sin is always, all it ever done is saying, look over here, do this, look over here. And so we do, and what do? We take our eyes and we go over here. And what happens to our eyes? They're not fixed. They're fixed on over here. Oh, they're bombing over there. What are we going to do? They could bomb the America. They could bomb us. Oh, no. And our eyes just get these glaze over, because we're not fixed on the author of the race. We're fixed on all the other stuff that's going around in our world. When we run the race, Jesus meets us on the track and gives us the transformation that you are looking for. You say, well, he hasn't transformed me. Then I would say to you, are you running? Are you in the race? I think I put this up there. I think it's living the race. Nope. Go one more. Let's see if that comes up. Maybe I didn't do it. Nope, didn't. Forget it. I didn't put it in there. You know, here's the deal. Here's what I'm trying to say in saying everything that I just said the last 5 minutes. Living like Jesus is the race. Living like Jesus is the race. And the Holy Spirit wants to meet you on the road to give you power, to give you transformation, to finish the only race that matters. That's the only race that matters. It's not your race. It's not your race to retirement. It is not your race to get to vacations or the vacations. It's not anything like you think it is. It is to run the race that Jesus has laid out before you. Why? Because listen to me. Listen. We run because 100% of the people that live on planet Earth need Jesus. 100%. And that's the people that the world hates. That's the people that some of you don't like. That's the people who have different opinions than you. That's the people that have different beliefs than you. That's the people that we're blowing up and blowing each other up today. That everybody on this world matters to Jesus because he made them. And he wants them to come to a saving knowledge of who he is. He does not want them to perish. So we run. That's how we experience Jesus. We run as a church. We run as a family. We dive into the Word. We trust what it says. We run. We love people unconditionally. We do it recklessly. And you go, oh, recklessly? That sounds a little bit reckless. Because his love is reckless. It has no bounds. His love goes on and on and on. He loves you regardless of how big of a dinkhead you are. He loves you regardless. So we run. But the truth of the matter, church, and I say this in all love, some of you here are not running. You're not running the race. You're not running the race that God has put out for you. You've experienced the lavish grace. You may have come into a relationship and somebody showed you who he was and you say, okay, I'll give you my heart. And you do that. And that's good. And you need to do that. And everybody needs to give Jesus their heart. But there's much more behind that. There is a surrender. There's a surrender of your life. There's a surrender of every day. I give up what is mine for Jesus today. I give up because I don't want to hold on to this hurt. I don't want to hold on to this unforgiveness. I don't want to keep it in my heart. I want to be free to go and do where Jesus wants me to do and where he wants me to go. I'm telling you that some of you in here have not yet allowed him to do that, and that's why it's so hard. Transformation happens when you're in the race. Transformation happens when you're on the track. It happens when you're in the road, when you're running the race. God then says, here's how I'm going to show you my power and my love. I'm going to come inside of you and I'm going to guide you and I'm going to show you where to go. And it's true. A lot of you have received Jesus, but some of you are not running. And so my lesson today is this, two parts. Start running and keep running. Start running and keep running. You see, remember, we have this great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. Our head has to be in that cloud because they're watching us, because they're telling us that you can do it, because they're showing us, I made it, you can too. Oh, it's hard. It's hard to love people that are hard to love. Yes, it is. It is hard to forgive people who have hurt you. It is hard to have good thoughts about people that have different opinions and thoughts than you. It is very, very hard. The early church was a family. The Hebrews, they lived together, they ate together, they served together. They just were part of who they were. And that's who God has called this group to be too. A group of people that share sorrows, that share joys, that share incredible heartaches and loss and pain. And then we do something about it because we are transformed. We give even when we don't have to give. And we say, if I have it, it's yours, Lord. You do what you need to do with it. The early church served together. The early church sweated together. The early church died together. Look what Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says. We must run. Let us consider this, Impact Christian Church. How may we spur one another on towards love and good deeds? Not giving up meeting together, church, assembly. It's worth it when you come together. As some are in the habit of doing, a lot are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What is that day? The day when Jesus is going to split back the sky. He's going to come riding down to this earth, and he's going to reclaim all those that have said, I'm running the race. We need each other to run. You are not a fortress. You are not a castle. I don't care how introverted you are here today. You have to get over yourself. God wants you to put yourself out there. But I was hurt. It does not matter. You've got to forgive. You've got to forgive. We need people to share victories with. We need people to share failures with, because that's all a part of it. 30 years ago, I was a track coach, believe it or not, but I never did any running events. I never coached one. I don't know anything about running. My coach in high school would tell me that I was a shot putter and a discus thrower, and he would tell me to run, and I'm like, I would go hide somewhere because I didn't want to run. I'm like, I don't want to run. That's for them running people. Anyway, I became a track coach for a short period of time. And my track coach used to get the runners together, and I'd be in the room, and I'd already let all the infield people go. And my head coach always used to say this to his runners, and I've always remembered this, and I've heard other people say it. It wasn't new with him, I'm sure. But he said this: you want to run fast, run alone. But if you want to run far and you want to finish, you got to run together. Let me say that again. You want to run fast, run alone. But if you want to run far and you want to finish, you have to run together. Some of you men need to think about that with your kids. You can do a million things. Bring your kids along. Bring your kids along with you. Don't let them just sit on the sidelines. Teach them. Show them what it is that you're doing. Bring them along. Run together with them. Do that here. Run together with your family. When you can't do it anymore, you say, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. So many of us, all we do is Google stuff because that's all we got to do. How do we do this? I Google. Used to, you got taught by your dad. Used to, you got taught by your grandpa. Grandpa taught you how to do stuff. Mom did. Today, we Google it. We hope it's right. And there's not a lot wrong with Google. But I think there is something wrong when we lose that personal interaction. Because if you want to run fast, you run alone. You might get there. But if you want to finish the race, you got to run with other people. Let that stick in this morning. We're just about done. Church, the race is not going to be easy. There's going to be times when it hurts. no matter the weight, no matter the pain, even when you're bleeding a little bit. Remember last week? Hey, you're not bleeding yet. Just keep running. Keep running the race. But sometimes you're going to bleed. And I believe the writer of Hebrews is saying, when it gets heavy, when it gets dark, when it gets, know this, church, when life is weighing you down, know it's God and He's wanting to do something in you. And a lot of you have found this the same way. It feels like that's when He does some of His best work, when you're getting bombed. When you don't know what to do, when it, every day feels so heavy and you've got so much anxiety. I believe the writer of Hebrews is saying, when it gets that place, you know that's when God is wanting to meet you and do something in you. So now I want you, as we get ready to think about closing this out, I want you to think of somebody that you know, somebody you look up to, okay? Somebody that really has character, that has hope, that you look at and say, you know what? They're an unbelievable person. How do they keep doing what they're doing? I want you to think about that person. Get it in your head right now. Think about it. And somebody go, I don't know anybody. Okay. I want you to think about somebody maybe in your past. But I hope it's somebody right now. Somebody that you look to and say, man, how are they doing that? What a person that person is. Did you get it? You got them? I'll give you a second. I need a drink. Okay, here's a couple questions about that person. Answer these. Do they have the character and the hope because they never faced a challenge? Do those people have the hope because they never faced a challenge? Do they have that hope and that character because the road was easy? Or was something born inside of them in the midst of something hard, something painful? And they said, I'll run no matter what. I'm going to run the race no matter what. Hard times come into your life when you're young, when you're old, and when you're in middle age, all times. And when they come, God wants you to learn something. He wants to put something in you, and He wants you to nudge you into the race. He doesn't want you to check out, and some of you have checked out. Check, please. I'm out of here. You have literally done that. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, but that's about it. He doesn't control my mouth. He doesn't control what I do with my hands and my feet, what I look at. He doesn't control my time. So I ask you today, are you in the race? Are you even racing? When you put your shoes on and you lace up those racing shoes, you allow the Holy Spirit to move inside you. Because what you do when you do that, you say, I know Him, and I know what happens when I'm on the road. I run, but I run with Him. So I'm saying this to you, family. What? Go home today. Go home and run. Go home and love somebody that you've not been loving. Go home and forgive somebody. Go home tonight and forgive somebody's shame. Go home and give selflessly. Go home and meet somebody that is sad and lonely. In these seats, there are many people like that. Living in a world of loneliness, that shouldn't be. Because we are here, and it is our job to get to know those people. Not to come here and get what I can and to go home and to hoard it. Because they'll make a TV show about you eventually, and it's going to be Christian Hoarders. And a lot of you are going to be in that show because there's going to be stuff. All these good things that you've gotten accomplished. You read the Bible maybe. You pray a little bit. You do all those things, those holy things. But if you don't do something with them, are you really running the race? The transformation that you're looking for is not on the sidelines. It's when you run the race. So today I implore you, because I think we were made to run. I think we were made to run together. I think we were made to run no matter how heavy and hard and horrible it gets. Let it be said of us, we run. Let's pray as the band comes. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your church. Thank you for the people in this room and the people that are online watching. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the gift of your spirit that goes into us when we run the race. And Father, we pray, would you well up in us a desire to run with you, to be like you, to pursue you no matter what. And so, Father, we pray in the name that you gave your son, Jesus. We ask you today that you would begin in us, that you would meet us, that you would meet us right here in this room, that you would take our broken hearts, that you would take our contrite heart, our heart that is hard, and you would melt it, and you would do a work in us. Father, we give you the next few minutes. Run amongst us. Show us what you want us to do. You've told us to run the race. You said, I'll be with you when you run. God, help us to run that race. We love you and praise your name. Amen. We call these next few minutes our ministry time. And it's for you. It's not for us. It's for you to do some business with God, because some of you walked in here today with that hard heart. You love Jesus, I understand. But when the seed falls on your heart, it just kind of falls off the side. Some of you, when the seed falls on your heart, it's a little bit open, but there's weeds in there. There's weeds that are choking out that seed. So today, if you want to have a prayer, the prayer for you should be, God, make my soil fertile for you. So when this seed of the word is planted in my heart, that it'll grow and you'll do the growing, not me. You can't grow. You can't grow. You can't grow somebody else. You can't go make somebody else do something. You ever tried that? Yeah, doesn't work, does it? God can. That's our job. It's our job is just to run the race. He'll take care of the rest. Let's see what God does these next few minutes, and I'll come back and talk with you in a second.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
And stop saying I'm old. Stop saying I'm too hurt. Stop saying my husband hurt me. Stop saying my wife hurt me. Stop doing that. Stop being a victim. You're not a victim. You are a victor because of who lives inside of you. God has called you to run the race. You are a racer. You are a runner. That's who you are. You are not something that happened of your circumstances. You're much, much more than that. You're not full of anxiety because the one who lives in you is better and so much stronger than that anxiety and that fear that lives inside of you. That's the message of the cross. That's the message of Jesus. That's why he died. That's what Easter is all about. But it comes with practicality. It comes with the day-to-day. You leave here today. And if you leave here the same way that you came in, what good was this hour? Not a lick, not a lick. Let the word of God dwell in you and do what only he can do. Next week, we're going to have a baptismal service. Not only are we going to have this group in, but we're having a baptism, I think at least two. And if you've never asked Jesus into your life, you want to start there. There's where we start. That's the beginning part. And then you can run the race, because some of you haven't even entered the race. And so if that's you, please talk to me on the way out today, and we'll make a date and talk this today on this week. God bless you so much, and he does, and he's thinking about all of you. You're on his mind. I've been bringing a lot of you up on his mind and just saying, God, speak to these people, because they're not getting some of the things that the word's saying. Speak to their heart. Use your Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Help us to quit making this life about us. Help us to make it about you. There's nothing wrong with having a life. There's nothing wrong with having a car and nice vacation and a nice house and taking care of those things. You have given those to us as gifts. But God, in the process, some of us have made those things, they've made those things the king. And we've moved you off the throne. And so I pray today that you will help us, every one of us, me included, to put you back on the throne, because there's areas of our life we have kicked you off of and said, no, you're not king of that. And so, God, just use this service today. Use your word today to start something in us that will finish, help us finish the race. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Have a blessed day.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it